Hello and welcome everybody. I am so thrilled and excited to offer this amazing Global Peace Week and the incredible people that we've been able to talk with. And I invite you, I'm your host, Karen Palmer. I'm the Mindful Media Mom. You can follow me on all social media for positive, uplifting, and inspiring media. I want you to think about that. Now, we want more positive media. So think about joining us at Global Peace United. My partner, AstraSings.com, you can go to her beautiful website and check out all the ways that she empowers beautiful visionaries and messengers. And you can connect with us at our beautiful NewEarthBusiness.com to learn more about the wonderful New Earth Business Academy if you have a passion for growing your business and learning how to utilize and monetize your business so that you can get your message out to the masses. You can join us there. I'm also inviting you to check out the amazing and wonderful lineup that we have at globalpeace.earth. We also have all the replays from Monday when we had the wonderful Perry Peace Train, and we had incredible broadcasters who shared about Martin Luther King Jr. and how inspired they have been. And, you know, the vision of Global Peace United is to love Martin Luther King Jr.'s dream into reality. So if that's something that you feel called and you'd like to join us, please reach out to us at globalpeace.earth. We're always looking for guest bloggers. We're looking for podcasters. We're also looking for all kinds of online media people, social media influencers, anybody who would like to be using their voice to help raise the levels of joy, love, kindness, and peace. And boy, do we have an incredible guest who is definitely raising the levels of joy in the world. Her name is Satya Kalra, and she is popularly known for the Anandam lifestyle, which is blissful living. She's a 15-time best-selling author of Happiness and Self-Transformational Coach. She's a spiritual guide and an international speaker based out of Danville, California. She's also the founder and the president of the nonprofit organization Path to Anandam to help people to explore their eternal happiness and peace within. Prior to finding the Path to Anandam, Satya has been through many facets in her life. She has been a veteran in the biotech industry for 35 years, serving as a visionary, entrepreneur, scientist, founder, CEO, president, and chairperson, a dedicated mother to three beautiful children, and a very responsible wife and committed social worker. Following a divine call, Satya left the helm as the CEO in a biotech industry after serving for 35 years and founded the Path to Anandam, which is blissful living. Her personal mission is to live in love and peace and anandam and to propagate blissful living by helping others become more self-dependent, self-reliant, and especially destitute women and children. She has her master's in chemistry, and she's also from her University of Illinois. And she also did her business management, marketing education with the university in Berkeley. For over 40 years, Satya has been unfolding her understanding of higher consciousness and supreme health and happiness through meditation and studying the Bhagavad Gita. She moved to the United States in 1969 from India and shortly thereafter began on a path of self-discovery through meditation, studying the Bhagavad Gita, and spiritual practices. For 25 enriching years, she's been teaching how to attain eternal happiness and peace within. and how to reach your unlimited potential by raising your conscious level through the ultimate union of body, mind, and soul. She truly bridges science, spirituality, and practicality with easy, simple, yet very effective techniques and practices. Yay, Satya is here. So welcome, Satya. Thank you so much for taking time to be with us today.
Namaste to you and also to all of our audience. Yes. And you know, namaste means I bow down to divinity within you, the divine light in me honors the divinity light in you. So namaste again to all.
Beautiful.
And I'm so honored to be part of this Global Peace Week in honor of Martin Luther King Day.
Thank you. I'm so honored that you are able to be here with us. We have been so inspired this week. There have been so many incredible interviews, and we had a beautiful Perry Peace Train, and there's just been so many uplifting and very motivational and inspirational talks that I feel really inspired. How do you feel about, our world and how we can have more bliss so that we can have global peace really going viral? That's the real goal here, is to see global peace just take over our whole planet so that everyone feels that. How do you feel we can start to achieve that?
You know, look at that. Why we are here together this week, honoring Martin Luther King Jr. So to me, actually, he is my hero.
Yes.
And he teaches me so many things to bring peace and love in this universe. If I just take an example of him and Mahatma Gandhi from India, those two, what they have done in their life, if we can just follow or go on their footsteps and just do even a 2% of the work what they have done in their life,
I know,
I think we will contribute a lot in this world. I mean, look at Martin Luther King. He was the embodiment, the symbol of peace.
Right.
He was an activist. He was the civil rights movement. And if I have to just summarize who he was the non-violence who has followed the path of non-violence, learning from Mahatma Gandhi.
Yes, and that's what Sandy was just speaking about, the beloved community that has continued in his name. Really, there are some amazing people still carrying on his beautiful traditions.
And even though he was preacher of nonviolence, and Gandhiji was a nonviolence, and see what common was in their life? They both gave their life for these causes. And they both were gunned down.
Yeah.
So we have to look at from that angle. And I look at it that Martin Luther King Jr., you know, I love his speech when he says, I have a dream.
Right.
His dream of freedom, mm-hmm. his dream of peace for all, treat all the people equally, the civil rights movement. So every time I ask a question, that what do I learn from him and Mahatma Gandhi? What is my dream? His dream was to bring the equal rights for all, where people are treated well. There is no boundaries of color, creed, and religion. So what is my dream? Do I have a purpose in my life, like he did, like Mahatma Gandhi did? Mahatma Gandhi's and Martin Luther King's, dream was to free their limitations, free the country, free the people's spirit. They have a freedom to speak. They have a freedom to go to places. So, you know, the other thing what I like about his life story, you know, I don't know how many people know about that, but his father, Michael, he was known as a Michael. And Michael King, he used to beat him up, which I did not like that part. But basically the message was he was giving him, he would tell him to stand up and do something for your people. Be a tough man. Stand up for the people and do something where people can not only remember you, but look up to you and follow you. So, Mike, I always ask that question to myself. Am I teaching those kind of values to my children? Am I making them and teaching them? Like my favorite thing and my favorite blessing to my kids is, may God give you wisdom. So you do good in this world. Not, do it good for your family, for yourself, but make a difference in the world. That's the blessing I always give it to my kids because I learned it from his father. So the question comes to me, how can I help? How can I be activist? What can I do? Now, I always talk about that blissful life. The path to Anandam is the way to blissful life, way to love, peace, and happiness life. But then the question comes, how could I cultivate the peace in my life? Because unless I have a life peace within myself, as Dalai Lama said, we can never obtain peace in the outer world until we make peace with ourselves. And what is the problem in the world today? So much violence. Where does the violence come? Unhappiness.
Right.
People are so unhappy. They are filled with hatred rather than love. And when they're filled with hatred, they are sick themselves. Their physical body suffers. Their emotional, their mind, their emotional, their peace. Basically, they're not in peace. They're very unhappy people. So they are physically sick because when all these sicknesses come, the emotional negativity comes, the hatred comes, the anger comes, our body releases toxins, hormones, which eats up our cardiovascular system, our immune system, and gives us insomnia, stress, and we invite all the diseases like cancer, asthma, all the immune deficient diseases. So we are physically we are not in peace. Of course, emotionally we are not in peace. And when we are emotionally disturbed, what do? We go and throw our emotions on other people. It's just like spreading a virus, like somebody has a cold and they go around and they spread the cold on other people and they all get sick. So the question comes, what can we do? You ask me a question, which is, what is the solution here? To me, there is two things we can do. We can fill our heart with love, but if we are upset, we have too much resentment, we cannot have a love in our heart. So my first thing is, we must learn how to forgive ourselves and how to forgive others. Because forgiveness is the one which leads to love, happiness, abundance. We can call it prosperity. Peace for us and peace for others. So heart-to-heart connection brings the peace. Forgiveness.
Yeah.
And forgiveness leads to peace. So I always ask a question before going to bed. I mean, that's my thing. In the morning, I just kind of, who am I going to forgive today? What am I going to forgive about myself or any circumstances or environment? And at night when I go to bed, I always say, okay, who am I going to send my love? I always send the love to others and forgive myself and others for whatever happened during the day or in my life, that at least when I go to bed, I am in peace. So I have a beautiful five steps. And number one step is cultivate love within ourselves. And that comes by forgiving others. In fact, Martin Luther King Jr. said, forgiveness is not an occasional act. It is a constant attitude. So this is a one of the things I always recommend. The second thing I recommend, to live in the mindfulness of peace. And what does it mean? I use our physical body, our organs, whatever our body is, because we cannot go out of our way. Living in peace and prosperity, or living in anandam, blissful life, it has to be very practical. We cannot just sit on mountains and just start having our rosary and just saying peace, 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 or just, you know, talking about it. Only lips don't work on this one. We have to bring it in practicality. Every moment we have to live in peace. And how we do it? As I said, we have to have a mindfulness. So we have to think, rather than hatred or complaining or resenting other things or others, we should just think about peace and live in peace. So our thoughts should be peace, which cultivate the peace rather than cultivating the hatred. So we have to really pay attention to our thoughts. And also when we see things around us, we should look for peace. Like when I'm driving a car and if somebody cuts me off, I just show them a two fingers. Raise my two fingers and show them the sign of peace. Rather than, why did this person do this, or why did he cut me off, or whatever, or somebody honks on me. So just give, practicing the peace in every moment. So see the peace in every situation. Hear the peace. Sometimes people talk about so much on the negativity on the social media, on the news media, on the television, talking about so much hatred. And we have to learn to give the messages in peace on social media. When we are talking to people, we should talk so pleasantly, so that when people leave off after talking to us, they should be smiling and they should feel more peaceful rather than feeling upset. I always call it roses without thorns. So I have to spread my roses around it. And also when we work, we should do the things very pleasantly, which please ourselves and others. It's not that we are just pleasing other people. No, we have to think about ourselves. But we don't even torture ourselves. And I think when getting angry, upsetting, like drink, people go on drugs and alcohol, what are they doing? They're torturing themselves, nobody else. And when I get upset with other people, it doesn't make a difference to other people. They might get a little bit upset here and there. But study shows that when we get upset, we get angry, it takes 72 hours for our system to come back as a normal human being. Our blood pressure goes up. Our blood counts even is to change. Our hormones level changes. They all come to proper level in 72 hours. Sometimes even depending how much angry we got or how much upset we got, sometimes it takes even as long as 30 days to come back to our normal impressions. So, and also we should have a company of people, like-minded people who believe in peace, not just sitting and gossiping and complaining each other and just pounding the how bad this world is and how bad. No, people like you and I and other people, we are all like-minded people. We should, so people should have company of the similar type of wavelength where they resonate with each other. And also we should go to the places where there is more we can do some good things like go to homeless shelters or helping other places. You know, like Martin Luther King, he was an activist. And what was he doing? He was doing the service for the community. And we should also learn from his life that we should not just live for ourselves, but we should do, we call it in our Sanskrit word is seva. We should do seva, selfless service for others. And when we do these things, then we must make sure that our physical body is in good shape. So we should do yoga, meditation, pranayama, which we call it pranayama, but basically these are taking deep breaths, and these are the breathing exercises, prayer, affirmations. So, and then we should continue to practice this, because in this world, it's very easy to get sidetracked. So we should do our self-disciplining. And I always, in all of my books, I have a daily planner, daily action planner, which I call it MAP, Master Action Plan, where in the morning, what am I going to do? Like I'm going to read some nice quotations or Bhagavad Gita or something to motivate me. Then I would have a 60-minute program for myself. So I think having that program about 20-minute yoga, 20-minute meditation, 20-minute some exercises or sitting quietly, whatever, you know, to recollect ourselves. And then take one mission or one activity out of my purpose of my life or out of my mission. Or if I want to self-transform or go and send a thank you note to somebody or whatever, I should do that at least once a day to bring a smile on somebody's face. And we should keep smiling. To me, smiling is the biggest thing. I think God was very grateful. I am so grateful to God. He was so gracious to give me the smile on my face. And I think I am known for big smiles. So I think all the credit goes to God.
Yes.
But as I said, be an activist like Mahatma Gandhi, like Martin Luther King Jr. And there are so many. You know, you just take, even today, there are so many. We are all doing something, but we could do it. And we should continue to do it and continue to practice. And then, after continuous practicing, we should do our best. And just let go. Just let God take care of it. Because I'm such a big believer in it, that when we do a good work, He's watching us. We might think that we have not have done enough, or we might have not done this right or wrong. He's guiding us. When we are connected with Him, and my biggest thing is how to connect with Him, my Om mantra, which I always talk about it, you know, with every breath, we should breathe positive thoughts, or some mantra or something. So then we are always connected to the supreme power. So this body becomes the instrument, a messenger of God, because we are connected with Him. So all these things, what I'm talking about, they raise our consciousness and give us a stronger connection with mm-hmm. Supreme. With Supreme, we all have those practices. And continue to do it and have a patience. To me, it's not like we are just putting the seeds here. Seeds will sprout. The plant will come. The flowers will come. Fruits will come. But we should continue to plant our seeds and make sure that we give the similar values to our children. And I always have a beautiful prayer for peace. And I want to share that with you.
Oh, thank you.
And that prayer, you know, as you know, we have a goddess of prosperity and abundance.
Lakshmi.
Mahalakshmi.
Lakshmi.
So let's pray to Mahalakshmi to bless us with the wisdom, understanding, and spiritual awareness. Because spiritual awareness is so important. If we live in ignorance, we don't know what's going around us. Then we kind of lose ourselves, so that we need awareness.
Right.
So may my heart be filled with love and compassion. May my mind be filled with understanding and peace. May my hands be filled with selfless service. May my home be filled with abundance and harmony. May my life be filled with health and prosperity. May my inner being be filled with ultimate happiness, bliss. We call it Sat Chit Ananda. So peace, abundance, prosperity, bliss, and joy, and Anandam to all.
It's so beautiful.
So once we enrich ourselves with peace, as it says, it's an unknown quote, but I'm going to quote it, that first keep peace with yourself, then you can also bring peace to others.
Yeah.
So being an activist, by these five steps, we can cultivate the peace within ourselves. Then we can go and spread it to society,
mm-hmm.
to economical situations, to political areas, to institutions, any sphere we go in life, then we can carry this peace everywhere.
That's wonderful.
So I call it as a peace activism is the highest calling. So I'm so thankful to be part of this event. And not only this event, God has put us together. I mean, it is only, I think only 2 months we have met. But I feel like we have known each other for many lives previously.
Me too.
And God has brought us now, and we are all being a part of this wonderful community where we are talking about peace.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what we do. I mean, all of my books, my coaching, my guidance, everything comes, unless we are happy and peaceful, we cannot share with others. We cannot make a difference. I call it garbage in, garbage out.
Right, absolutely. Absolutely. That was a beautiful prayer, too. Thank you so much for sharing that with all of us. I'd like to dive in a little bit about your nonprofit organization and what you do with your nonprofit organization and how you have you've been definitely selfless service with that. So working with destitute families, I'd like to hear a little bit more about that, please.
Yeah, we have an organization, it's Path to Anandam. And our mission is to guide people how to live in blissful life. And that could be a very wide area. For example, we focus on destitute women and children and families, where, for example, people do not have enough resources to bring the food on the table. Or they have some physical limitations or some bad habits. Like we also know there are many areas in the world, especially in India, man works and brings the money, or even woman works and brings the money. But then a husband is so alcoholic, he wastes all the money in the alcohol. And then he beats her up. Or he just doesn't totally abandon the family whole evening. And then, you know, he's drunk. And here is the wife is the one who is taking care of the food and everything. And so we also support the children in the schools, where government gives the books and one-time lunch and things, but many times they don't give them, like they need to wear the shoes, they need to have the notebooks and pencils. And if the kitchen is broken in the schools or the gates are broken or something, then we financially support them. And then the question comes, where does this money come for supporting? So what we do, as I have 15 bestsellers, whatever the revenues come from these books, I do the coaching, I do give the seminars, workshops, whatever the revenues come from this, we just donate 100% these revenues to these causes. And in our organization, we usually have good group of volunteers. We do pay some people for the services, but they are not that many. Everybody
right.
understands there. So all the money comes to organization. It directly goes to these events or sponsors the events or whatever it is. But we do not personally take any money as a salary, or even we travel, we don't take any money from that. Or we just, this is our way of thanking God for his whatever he has given us. We want to just give it back to this universe for good causes. And I always pray to God. This is my favorite prayer to God, that please give me enough wisdom and in heart so I can open my hands, my heart, and I can help others as much as I can. So I think God is very, I really thankful to God. I had never thought about that I would have ever started this organization, because first of all, I have never been an author, never done any these kind of things what I'm doing, because I had been a corporate world, spending all of my life on the building the career. And even though I was practicing my goodness, my righteousness in the business, but still I was devoting most of my time toward the corporate world. And then the message came from the universe that now it is the time that I should share whatever wisdom he has given me, whatever resources he has given me. So I'm so thankful to God for this. And I'm so thankful to a lot of people have joined Path to Anandam, and we work. We have a wonderful group of people. We work together.
And that's what it's all about, is really just starting to, it starts, like I said, everywhere, it starts in the heart and then it spreads out. It starts in one person's heart, a vision is placed, and then it really is a co-creation. We're here on the planet, I think, to realize and understand that we are all in this together, that it doesn't matter what. We're a global family. We are a beautiful global family. And the only thing that really needs healing on the planet right now is the illusion that we're separate and that we're different than each other, because we're so much more alike than we are, you know, unalike. Like the beautiful poem that I shared about Maya Angelou, you know, that She's another amazing activist who mm-hmm. continues, her beautiful light continues to shine so bright, even though she's not physically here. How do you feel about that? There's so many incredible guides that are on the other side that are guiding this, like Maharishi, like Gandhi, like Martin Luther King Jr. It's really very powerful right now. Do you feel that energy is more more apparent for people who are in that blissful state of mind?
You know, I don't know how much you know about Bhagavad Gita. This is one of the scriptures which everybody talks about. Bhagavad Gita talks so much about the soul.
Yes.
How these souls evolve. Where do they go when they leave the body? And how do they come back into the body again? Beautiful journey, they explain. And according to Bhagavad Gita, and it's not according to Bhagavad Gita, just, you know, when we are connected, when we are in that higher conscious level, we experience, we talk to them. We just, you know, doesn't matter whoever it is, they will just come to us. Sometimes we even don't know which soul is talking to us. But we hear the beautiful voice, feel beautiful vibrations. So all these, according to Bhagavad Gita, these souls all are in the universe. And they are waiting to come back to the body to do more work. If they have not finished that work or they feel that work is not finished, then they will come back. And then they will come back into the new body, or until they come to the new body, they will keep guiding the people like us or the people who are ready to accept their guidance. In other words, if our antenna is high enough, they're always talking to us. Those wavelengths are always there in the universe. We have to just put our antenna high so we can receive those vibrations, those messages. And other thing is, those messages, we all get it. But by connecting and staying and living in the higher consciousness, the other thing what we must do is whenever we get the message, we should take those messages very seriously and do something about it. In other words, put it in action. How these people become activists? How do you do these things? How did you form this global peace united? Because you got the message, you acted upon it, and look how far it is taking you there.
It was only a year ago, and it was through Martin Luther King Jr. That I felt the energy was being guided to me, and I didn't know, you know, like I heard the quote, and I just shared this with Sandy too. The quote was, faith is taking the first step when you can't see the entire staircase. And that's how it started as Global Peace Project. And, you know, we grew. It was like a beautiful, I feel like it's been like a beautiful, I call it the Global Peace United tree, because it's like all the branches have come together now, and it just keeps growing, and it's so beautiful.
Mm-hmm. So if we just listen to these messages, which are, and the other thing where in Bhagavad Gita, it says that I am going to give these messages to you through many different channels. Make sure those don't slip out of your hands.
Yeah.
Go act upon it. When you act upon it, I will come. I will arrange the whole universe for you.
I know.
To take this, because it's not that you are doing. I'm guiding you. I'm the one who's going to do it. I have chosen you. So, you know, a beautiful story. I was doing a Gita conference, Bhagavad Gita conference last July.
Yes.
And I was just by myself. And started that, and 6 weeks prior to that, I had only a couple of people. And believe it or not, I invited President Obama. I invited all the icons of the world to attend my conference. I don't know what I was thinking, but I sent them a letter to everybody. You know, but you know, the congresswoman from Hawaii, she did come, Tulsi Gabbard. You might have heard her name. She came. She was our keynote speaker. So many keynote speakers from India and different places came. So I arranged this conference for 600 people.
Wow.
And 6 weeks prior to the conference, people, it started joining, and we had a very good group of people, and things are, but I was financially, I didn't have the resources. Everything was shattered, but I always sit and pray, because the symbol of Bhagavad Gita is that Lord Krishna is sitting on the chariot, and his disciple, who is he guiding, sitting on the behind that chariot, and he's kind of guiding him, and he's kind of driving his chariot. So I always said, Lord Krishna, this is your conference, because he's the one who delivered the message to his disciple through Bhagavad Gita. So I said, look, this is your conference. I am the one of your disciples sitting in the chariot. Please make sure that you are driving. I felt he was driving. And you know what? The day of the conference, we planned from 9:30 to 6:30, whole day, full agenda. We were offering four meals, breakfast, dinner, snacks, and lunch, everything free. And so many people, so many icons, so many speakers, so many saints came. And even though I planned for 600 people, 1,500 plus people showed up.
Wow.
And we were kept putting more chairs and more chairs and more chairs and keep expanding and keep opening the walls of the hall, because that hall was big, but we just blocked it because we just didn't want to look the whole hall empty. So we just put the curtain, you know, how they have the halls where they just kind of, you can, they're flexible. You can open as big as you can there. So it could accommodate 2,000 people there. And we had to start the conference at 8:30 in the morning, though we planned for 9:30 because there's so many people there. And then we finished it at 7:30 instead of 6:30. And people were screaming and they were saying, can't you just do it for 2 more hours?
Oh my God.
Why the rush to close it? Why the rush to close it? So we extended for 1 more hour, from 6:30 to 7:30. So what I am saying is, and how it happened, I was in India, invited for one of the, giving my speech. There were 40,000 people there when I gave my talk. And when I was coming back, I said, look, I have to take this message to USA. And in the plane, when I was up in the air, this message came to me. And when I came back, I said, okay, I'm going to have the similar kind of message in USA as well. And I did. So the point I'm bringing, when I listen to these messages, I try to grab it and do something about it. I just don't just sit there.
Right.
And then the universe comes and helps me. And you have the same experience. We all have the similar experiences. So I think we are an activist in our way. And this is a message I want to give it to the world, that be an activist. Do something. Have a purpose of life and do something. Give a smile to other people. So then, when I am lying down on the deathbed, I feel, thank God, you have given me opportunity to be your messenger. And I could do something. And
yeah,
I could bring at least a smile to other people's life. People ask me, when you do the coaching, when you guide, what is the biggest pleasure you get? Why do you do that? And I say, my biggest reward is that when people come, they're crying, they have tears in their eyes, they are so discouraged. And when they leave, they give me a big hug and they smile and they said, how much difference I had made in their life. And I think that's what we need to do. And if we collectively do this to bring a smile in other people's lives, bring the blissfulness, bring the peace and anandam in people's life, this universe definitely will become a better place to live, not just for us, for our children, for generation to come. And I think my dream is that there are no boundaries of caste, color, region, religion, and there is no terrorism, there is no killing, there is no hatred, there is no complaints. Everybody is just giving a smile and just living in love and peace and anandam. This is what my biggest dream is for this universe. And I think it's getting fulfilled. Look at what you are doing. What we are doing all together, I think it is getting filled.
Absolutely.
So I think all these souls, divine souls, are guiding us. They are with us. And they are motivating us and inspiring us.
And then literally, bringing us to each other. And then, I really believe that. I believe that we are, and then we are divinely guided to one another. Because when you and I met when we met for the first time, I felt a real, I've known you for lifetimes, and I felt that really strongly with Terry Miller too, when, and with my friend Tina, that was the photographer at the World Parliament on Spirituality. And I felt that way with Paula. Paula Fellingham, who is also a part of that. And I knew, like, as I was experiencing all of this, I was starting to think, you know what? This feels like heaven on earth. You know, when we were part of this amazing experience of being at the World Parliament on Spirituality in November, it was so amazing. But it felt like, at the same time, it felt amazing, but it also felt natural. It felt like it was like, I even said to Paula, I feel like we're floating to each other. We're like floating. We're like literally people I knew I was destined to talk to, I would literally feel myself floating over to them, you know?
So wonderful. I'm so thankful to every moment of my life where I meet all of divine souls like you and other people. It's just that life is so abundant. I just have to expand myself, that abundance, and share with others.
Yeah, life is just so abundant. It's just so abundant. And that's what we want to do, is teach the people who have the illusion of this poverty, you know, have a prosperity consciousness instead of a poverty and scarcity consciousness. And I know that that is the goal of Global Peace United. I know that is the goal of the peaceinitiative.org. And I know that's the goal of the Path to Anundam. So it just makes perfect sense that we've all been led to each other.
Yep. And I am a big believer of practicing in a very simple way, very simple, practical tips. It's spirituality is not, you know, sometimes you talk to people about spirituality or blissful life, and they kind of, since they don't understand, they think like we are come from a different planet.
Yeah.
We don't even live in real world. And they think we are living in illusion and we are not accepting the reality of the world. Because,
right.
You know, I kind of accept that also, because I don't accept reality. I accept their ignorance.
Yeah.
I accept their ignorance. And then that's where we come in the picture, that where they are coming from. Since they don't, like, for example, if I don't know how to speak English, whatever you say, I would not understand. If you don't understand Hindi language or Sanskrit language, you wouldn't understand what I'm talking to you. So basically, we both are speaking the same language, different language. And what, I mean, if somebody is starving, going through such a places where so much terrorism is, and if we preach these things, what we're talking about, they can't relate to it, and I fully understand, because they're hurting, they're fearful, they're scared. And that's where we come in the picture, that how we can make a difference in those people and how we can help them to come out of the fear. And also the people who are living in hatred, like I go to so many interfaith places, and there we talk about it. And I said, we talk about this terrorist. And we always defend ourselves that that's not what they're doing. This is, I said, why can't we approach the terrorists and kind of teach them more, or help them to open their heart, so then they don't do what they're doing right now? Can we just take a pill or give them an injection of a love, so then they can transform? And especially nowadays with this artificial reality, can we do something technologically to bring change the wavelength in their mind? I mean, I keep dreaming about these things. I hope this terrorism, these things just disappear. But there is some magic comes, and all of a sudden it takes that pain away from these people. Because these people are suffering. That's why they're hurting others, because they don't know how to do better things to others.
I mean, they've been raised
that way. Yeah, so they just know the hatred part of it, so they just give the hatred. And may God give them a wisdom. May God open their heart. Bring end to their sufferings, because when they are suffering, they are making other people to suffer.
Yeah.
So I just pray to God. Sometimes I sit and cry and I say, God, please, 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 can you do something here to open the people's heart?
Yes.
And I'm sure our prayers will be answered, because they are coming from the purity of our heart. We have no other agenda for ourselves. We just want the peace for the whole world. Would you like me to do some little meditation here?
I would love that. That would be so beautiful. Thank you.
So let's sit straight if it is possible. I hope you are not driving, or some of the listeners are not driving. If you are driving, then just keep doing whatever you are doing. But if you are at the still place, then please sit still in a very comfortable position. Take a deep breath. And put your hand on the lower part of your stomach if you want, just to feel that you have filled the entire stomach with the breath. So breathe deeply, slowly, all the way down to your stomach. Hold it. Exhale. Inhale, exhale, inhale, exhale, now breathe normally. And with every inhalation, let go of any concern of the day. And now breathe deeply again. And with every breath, smile and say love. So with every inhalation, say love. With every exhalation, say peace, love, peace, love, peace. Love, peace, joy, anandam, joy, anandam. And feel with every breath, the love is flowing all the way to your heart, going through the lungs with every breath, and it is going to the heart and flowing throughout the body with the circulation of the blood from heart to every part of the body. And feel every cell of the body, every DNA of the body, every nucleotide, every gene, every mitochondria, and empty spaces in the body are filled with love and peace, joy, anandam. Every atom in the body, every molecule, every electron and proton and empty spaces in the body are enriched with love, peace, anandam. Feel the entire body is filled. The whole face, the head region, and it is connecting to the others in the cosmos with our breath, going to others, and love, peace, and anandam is vibrating in the universe and filling and cultivating everywhere. There are no boundaries of you and me or anybody else. We are all love, peace, anandam. We are all one. We are truly in oneness with the whole universe. And that golden light in the form of oneness and the oxygen which is coming in and out of our bodies, going all over the world. The vibrations, the aura which we are giving and emitting to the rest of the world is going everywhere in the universe. And it is reaching to every member of the family, our loved ones, the whole nation, everywhere in USA, in neighboring countries, in the Far East countries, India, Pakistan, Iran, Iraq, Middle East, African countries, Europe, Australia, whole universe is filled with pure love, peace, anandam energy, this anandamayi energy. There is no boundaries of the time. There is no illusion of the time, space. We are all one. May God bring peace, love, and anandam on everybody's heart who might be suffering with some kind of negativity or hatred. Please bring love and compassion in their heart and peace in their life. Let's all be one. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Om peace, 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 peace for my body, peace for my mind, and peace for the universe. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
A part of cultivating this love, peace, anandam energy together and sharing with the universe. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Satya. And thank you, everybody, who I can feel the energy of all the people on this call and all the people who will be listening on the replay, and I will be listening to this over and over again. I'm so grateful, Satya. I'm so grateful to all of our guides who have brought us to this moment. I'm so grateful for our ancestors and for all the wisdom that is being bestowed upon each and every one of us. I'm just so incredibly grateful right now. I'm just full. That is what prosperity and abundance is about, is really just knowing that we're already full and that we can share.
Thank you. And thank you again for
thank you
being a part of my wonderful journey.
Yes, and please, thank you. And please let people know they can go to your website to connect with you. And
yeah,
also,
so
she will be on her radio show, blogtalkradio.com, Angel Speakers, tomorrow at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time.
And our website is www.PTA.org. So PTAUS.org.
And they can also go to PathToAnandam.org too, right?
Yes, yes. It's just the abbreviation. This is just the abbreviation, PathToAnandam or PTAUS.org.
A.
PTA, like P for path, T for two, and A for Anandam. And US, it's in USA, so it's the US.org. So PTA.org.
Okay.
Or they can go to PathToAnandam.org. And they can also go on my website. And if anybody's interested in, as I said, I do the coaching, I do the guiding, and we have the workshops, etc. So please visit our website and you can get the information. And my email address is Satya, S-A-T-Y-A, at PTAUS.org.
And on all social media, it's Path to Anandam, or is it Satya?
Path to Anandam. Yeah, it's a PathToAnandam.org.
Okay.
Or also I also have it Satya at PathToAnandam.org also. So Satya,
okay.
Kalra, Satya, and they can go to Amazon, they can go under Satya Kalra. So you have an option, Satya Kalra or PathToAnandam. Either way, you will be connected with us. So please feel free. If you have any questions, please let us know.
Right,
and we are very excited.
Yeah, and she has a radio show that she does tomorrow on with Terry Miller on Angel Speakers. So you can go to angelspeakers.com and you can check out the full schedule for her Blog Talk Radio shows. And also you can go to blogtalkradio.com/angelspeakers. And tomorrow night at 5 p.m., Satya will be doing her beautiful, blissful living now, Anandam show. So she'll be teaching even more amazing, wonderful ways that we can have blissful living now.
So, and actually, this radio show is every Thursday.
Every Thursday.
Every Thursday at 5 o'clock Pacific time. And it goes 5 to 6:30 or 7. It's about 2-hour show.
Beautiful. So I would love to just thank everybody who has come in today. And I want to, again, thank everybody who has been a guest. And especially want to thank you, Satya, for your beautiful wisdom and your beautiful light. Just keep shining. And I'm so excited about all the ways we're going to collaborate together and co-create. And I know that we have been divinely guided. So mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a beautiful night, everybody.
And you too. You should. You must have a rested night.
Thank you. I have
two more
beautiful interviews to go. And I'm actually more inspired every time I do an interview. So I feel more uplifted, just like you said. You know, I'm being filled up as I'm giving, because, you know, abundance is, that's how abundance works.
And thank you very much. And God bless you. And God bless all the audience.
And God bless you. And thank you. God bless everyone listening and on the replay. Have a beautiful night, guys. And don't forget, we have Cheryl Angela coming up and Pix Jonansen coming up right after her. So we'll be back in a little bit. And I hope you have a beautiful little rest here.
Thank you.